Jess Strutt on ABC Radio Perth.
My next guest has been tracking the habits of Australia's keyboard warriors when they post, what they post, and how we whip each other into a cranky online frenzy. Researchers tracked how these 74.2 million English language Twitter posts or tweets, social media platform for those of you that aren't on it. I'd steer clear of it if I was you. Between 2015 and 2017, they tracked this in New South Wales. And to cut to the chase today, right here, right now in Perth, we're exhibiting textbook conditions for a spike in angry social media posts. Why? Well, Heather Stevens is a doctoral student from Macquarie University in Sydney, and she joins me on Drive now to explain. Good afternoon, Heather.
Hi, Jess. How are you going?
I'm well, thank you. By the looks of your research, there are a couple of contributing factors that make today so likely to feed levels of online aggression. I'm not a fan of this. Now, let's start with the fact it's Monday. How does the start of the working week, Heather, affect social media posts?
Yeah, it's a good question. So, I mean, a lot of those cliches, things like Monday-itis, they usually come from somewhere. So Monday-itis is actually almost a scientific term now. We find in a lot of different mediums that there has been an association between negative feelings, maybe with that your mood or it's, in this case, online aggression, and the working week. So Monday being the start of the working week, I think people are feeling a little bit less excited. And, of course, it comes on the back of a weekend. So certainly Monday, we found in our study, had the highest amount of angry Twitter posts.
More yoga, less tweeting, I say. Hey, Heather, another factor you found contributes to online aggression is the temperature and the weather. What did you learn in that regard?
Yeah, it's actually really interesting how I came about this because my background's in climate science and we talk about hotter weather. So my research today has been about the relationship between hot weather and aggressive behaviour. So it's a pretty well-known phenomenon. We get hot and bothered.
That's interesting because in cases of a real-life physical aggression, hotter weather, as you're saying, is cited as a contributing factor, but it's the reverse online, is it?
Yeah, so this study, I was looking to find to see if that relationship was similar to the online aggression as it is on the offline, and we did find it pretty much is the inverse. So it is higher in cold weather, but it's a U-shaped curve. Well, it's a bit of a lopsided U. So although it's higher in the cold weather, there was evidence that it then goes up in the extreme temperatures. So over 35 degrees, we do seem to see evidence of an increase in online aggression as well. But generally, the trend is cold weather, higher amounts of angry tweets, that beautiful 25, that kind of period where you're most comfortable, that's the lowest temperature for angry tweets.
If you're on Drive with Jess Strutt, filling in for Jeff Hutchison this week, I'm having a chat with Heather Stevens. She's a doctoral student at Macquarie University. She's done some fascinating research on these keyboard warriors, what sets them off, what conditions set them off. And if you're in Perth right now, and chances are if you're listening to this program on ABC Radio Perth, that's where you are, be concerned because the conditions are right. They're primed right now for some bad behaviour, keyboard warriors. Now, it's a wet Perth day. So tell us a little bit about what else we can expect.
Yeah, well, so we found lots of different interesting things. Although I was looking for the association between temperature and aggression, we, of course, found that days of the week matter, weekends, holidays. What do you know? We're less angry on a weekday, I mean, a holiday day as well. But we also looked at the corresponding days in our study period for the highest angry tweets. And we looked at what was happening in the news. And the top 10 days all had a 10-day corresponding to something happening in the media. So we had the leadership spill. We had a sports game was in the top 10, so obviously sports get us fired up as well. We had two mass shootings in the US in that time period, and they both had spikes and angry tweets. So certainly events have a big influence. But, as I said, my study's about the association with weather. So winter had higher amounts of angry tweets than summer. But I guess what's interesting to me is the why, and there's two reasons. One, there could be a biological response, so perhaps you're shivering and you're cold and you're feeling physically impacted by the cold. It might be changing your hormones, it might be changing your sleep patterns. So all those physical responses are possible, but it's also routine. So in colder weather, you might change your routines. You might spend more time indoors, you might be socialising less, and those kind of factors might give you more motivation to be getting on your phone or your laptop and sending out those angry tweets. So it's a bit physiological, but probably more about your routine.
Now, you also looked at the way that it spreads online, and it can move pretty quickly.
Yeah, so of all the different emotions, like this wasn't something that I covered in my research, but I have obviously looked at a lot of other research in this field, and the studies have found that of all the different emotions that spread through social media, rage is the fastest. And I can kind of see this to
not
be
love.
True, I don't know.
Not love.
I'm sorry. I would love to say that is that we are really warm people that want to share good news with others, but we tend to be faster to share the rage. So of all the different emotions that you're likely to post and repost, angry ones were the ones that were faster. So, of course, I care about anything that's going to influence the amount of rage online, because not just are you feeling rage, but you're also spreading it faster. So, you know, it has a wider influence then.
You looked at Twitter. Unfortunately, I am in that space as a former political reporter, and that can get pretty nasty in that space, in that area. Would you expect similar patterns on other social media platforms? I'm thinking one which more listeners would be using, something like Facebook, maybe even TikTok, because I know what that is now.
Me too. I have children. So thank you to my children for keeping me in the up to date with these things. It's a really good question. And a lot of people seem to have a love-hate relationship with Twitter. I noticed at your intro, you straight away were like, come on, guys, don't get into Twitter, because it does get a bit of a love-hate feeling about it. And I think that's because it tends to be used by politicians, by journalists, by people that want their information public. So when you post a tweet, it's online forever. You know, it's there for everyone to see for as long as it is. So certainly I would suspect that people that are using Facebook or things that have more of a closed circle of influence, they're more likely to have more personal content used there. So it's likely that the way people use Twitter is different to the way they use more personal messages. However, I'd still say the patterns are going to be similar. I would still suspect that, because, again, it comes back to that routine change, that possibly the way that our routines influence our lives, we'd still see angry Twitter happening in the colder weather and perhaps in the hotter weather, so in those extreme periods. Particularly when we talk about cold weather or hot weather extremes, there's a lag period. So if you are finding you have 3 nights where you're just not getting any sleep because it's really hot, or 3 days where you haven't seen the sunshine, then maybe stuff starts to build. So certainly there's this lag accumulation process as well. So it might not be, you might be okay tonight, but watch out for Wednesday. That's when you might want to keep away from your phone.
Oh, no. Hey, Heather, how are you going to use these findings? Because the thing is, it's not social media isn't the problem. It's morons who use social media. And a few people have written in just that on the text line saying, stop glamorizing this. These keyboard warriors, they're just cowards. They're not very bright. Yep, okay, I get all of that. So what are you going to use this research for? Can it help us to de-escalate some of that tension online?
Oh, look, I find this stuff fascinating. I mean, the original algorithm that I use is from the CSIRO, and it was developed in this conjunction with the Black Dog Institute. And for those who don't know, the Black Dog Institute is an organisation looking at depression and suicide and mental health issues. So certainly I think that these kind of algorithms are really fascinating for tracking, wider social issues like depression. And I was also curious to know if I could somehow find a relationship between online aggression and assault in the real world. Would we be able to use I don't know if you've seen the Minority Report movie, Jeff, but it's a bit of one of my favourite sci-fi movies, but Tom Cruise gets to try and predict the crime before it occurs. So could we use social media emotion as a way of trying to predict what's happening in society on the ground before it actually happens? My study found actually inverse, so as Twitter anger goes up, assaults go down. But certainly the more we get to know sentiment analysis on the internet, I think the more applications we'll find.
Heather Stevens, doctoral student from Macquarie University, thanks for your time.